sounds like there's no government like more government in most.
Right, that's what it looks like to me. They're getting lots of government.
Well, I'm hoping that in the days ahead that you can consider with Food Not Bombs up north giving support to the folks of the SOS, Save Our Shelter, the open air shelter campers who are trying to persuade the city and the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, which owns the property on which they are peacefully maintaining a successful alternative community there, at least a community where they're sheltering themselves. They need to stay for the winter. They're being threatened with eviction, and the entire campground is being threatened with permanent extinction because they want to throw down, that a Citizens Committee for the Homeless wants to throw down trailers on that property. Maybe Food Not Bombs in San Francisco wants to come down on December 1st and support the campers.
So is there going to be a protest on December 4th?
On
December 1st?
I believe that there will be a protest. Again, the campers are still in the process of organizing. December 1st is the date that the Citizens Committee has given when everybody has to leave and go into Winter Armory Shelter, those who can. Armory Shelter won't cover everybody. And then people will no longer have a place during the day to be, so their entire daytime life will be a matter of carrying whatever they have around on their backs. And getting up at, 5 or 6 or 7 in the morning and then hustling in to be in it at night at 8.
Want to come down to join any protest, so any actual day that you think, or if there's a city council meeting you want to come down to or something like that, we would...
Actually, there's a city council meeting on Tuesday, tomorrow, you're welcome to come to, but we're going to present this, the campers are going to speak to the city council about it at 3:30 and then at 7, but I think that December 1st is a good target date for you to talk about coming down on, because even though we haven't got a protest date, that's the day that they may kick us out before then. If they kick us out
then
before then,
we can just go back onto the land on the 1st.
Right, we can.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that then.
All right.
Thanks a lot for calling, and anyone that wants to get more information about any of these wacky things, the people park hassles that are going on, there's a good reason.
The health department came to Chateau where people were cooking at Berkeley and preparing the meal
in People's Park. Start snooping around Food Not Bombs kitchen, and the mayor there said they're going to try to drive Food Not Bombs out of People's Park, and along with Catholic workers. And so there's lots of attacks on...
Yeah, that's coming up at a Berkeley City Council meeting toward the end of the month.
Yeah, there's a protest that's organized in Berkeley for Tuesday the 28th at 5 o'clock at People's Park, and then people are going to march to the City Council meeting. And there is an affinity group that is calling for going into People's Park after the curfew and camping there and risking arrest on Tuesday the 28th.
Well, maybe campers from down here could go up and support them, and then they could come down and support campers down here.
Great idea. Well, okay.
Yeah.
Well, call 1-800-884-1136 if you have any more questions.
1-800-884-1136.
Yep.
Thanks a lot, Keith.
Take care. Bye.
Thank you.
And you've been listening to Keith McHenry on Bathrobes Piers Broadsides. We're about to fade into the sunset. Hopwatch Bob, a.k.a. Skidmarks, has just arrived to kind of wheel me off to the old DJ's home.
Time to go here, buddy.
I want to go, but it looks like I get my Geritol and hit the road here. There is one final thing I want you to hear regarding the open-air shelter. As you know, we've been repeating it endlessly on the show. That's the crisis that we're facing in the next, who knows, 2 days, 2 weeks, certainly by December 1st. Citizens Committee has promised they're going to move in and move everybody out, and we're going to resist that. But in order to get a clearer sense of what was happening, because you may remember earlier on the show, Daryl Darling gave an ambiguous answer to that question of whether December 1st was the deadline, we called up Paul Marceau, who I called Pardonnez-moi Paul, who's the head of the NFA Satellite Shelter Program, and instead we got Rough Winter Ron Howard, who gave us a kind of a brief summation of things as he saw it. That's this interview. I don't even know if it's crackly or inaudible. I'm hoping it's not. But after that, I'm going to say adios and turn you over to Skidmark Bob.
I'm on the phone. Ron Howard is the operations manager of the open air shelter, the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program. How you doing? Sounds like a busy man. You got phones ringing in the background. For a minute while you...
No. Mr. Marceau's out of the office, so let's make this brief. As you said, it is kind of busy around here this morning.
Sure.
What can I do for you?
Well, you may remember that we'd last spoke at the open air shelter's November 2nd cleanup, which well, it depends on which side of it you're on, I guess. But I certainly liked what decision you and others eventually made, which was to allow the first decision was made to move all the tents off and move everybody off, at least during that day. And then the decision was to allow people to come back because the armory, after all, was not open at that point. You bring your shelter to it. Campers.
Well, I'm sorry about that. That sucks big time. I'm afraid we're going to have to get ourselves a new machine operator or something. But the bottom line is what Ron said in this morning call, which was about 4 hours ago, he had a small new piece of information. He couldn't give us a deadline date. He couldn't say, yeah, we'll come in whenever we want, or yeah, we're going to come in only on December 1st. But what he did say was that when they decide to open the winter army, which will be when the weather hits below 40 degrees or below 50 and raining, they will close down the field and people will go to the armory. But people will be able to use the field during the day, but not have their tents up. So that may be an improved position. It sounds like an improved position because the field will not be entirely closed. Now, I'm not sure if that's on the days when the armory is open. I suspect the field will be closed on those days, or on those days when the armory has again closed down because the weather has gotten better before December 1st. As you know, the armory opens up on when the weather is bad before December 1st, and thereafter the armory will be open every night. So it looks like it may still be the field will be closed, period, when the armory is open. And if the armory closes for a period of time, people can come back to the field, but not with their tents, or not with their tents up. I suppose that's an improvement. That sounds like maybe a small improvement, but it don't sound like too much of an improvement. Let's get some real improvements. Get your butts down to City Hall tomorrow at 3 o'clock for a bite to eat in front of City Council. I should say in front of the chambers, and then go in and bellyache a bit, or talk back to City Council, tell them what you think at 3:30. Then at 6 o'clock, go down to Community Perspectives, the community television station at 8:16 Pacific. And then at 7 o'clock, you know, wind your way back to City Council and talk to them again. And point of all this is television. This stuff appears on television. The Santa Cruz community needs to know what the Citizens Committee for the Homeless is doing. Then the Citizens Committee for the Homeless will start to feel the pressure, and hopefully then SOS, the group that is supporting, that is, the campers, will get support from the community, the support that they so richly deserve and really need. This is Bathrobe Spear's Broadsides, signing off. This is Bathrobe Spear Robert. If you want to be on the show, give me a call at 423-HUFF during the week. If you want to be on the show but can't get through a call, show up at Taco Bell at 9:45 on Friday morning. Goodbye, good luck, and hang in there.
Name of the song. Big I rhyme, still one or two. I hate bangs, yeah. How about you?
It's November 21st, about 1 o'clock. I'm out here on the road. What is this? This is Coral Street, right?
Right.
In front of the Homeless Community Resource Center nearby. I'm talking to Mushroomic, a former inhabitant, hopefully future inhabitant, of the open-air shelter. And you were, you've talked earlier about having been ousted by what you feel is unfair process from the open-air shelter because you intervened as a peacekeeper.
Right.
And what's the current status on that?
Well, current status is still another 2 weeks out. You know, after, you know, I thought about the things I had to get between Jeff and all the women that he's had problems
with. Who's Jeff?
He's one of the mentally handicapped clients here. They put me up, somewhere around stopping 30 fights. And seeing that I've never hit anybody on the property with anything, even my hands, I think it's totally unfair. I think it's total bullshit.
Now, you were ousted when were you taken off the property?
Monday morning.
And the police came back and arrested you?
Yeah, well, enough people decided that it was bullshit. They signed papers, and I had 105 signatures, and it was enough for me to stay to want to get arrested, because if you don't get arrested, it just goes to show that you're following everything and it's not right. So I put out paperwork, I put out my papers that I have to sign on people.
Are you facing charges right now?
Yeah, I'm facing a trespassing charge with the DA. I don't know if he's going to hold up to it, but I know I'm going to bring all my paperwork.
You were held in jail one night and then released on your own recognizance?
No, it was about 2.5 hours.
And so where have you been staying in the interim, since you can't be on the property?
Oh, I've been up in the Poconkeep Mountains, of course. I mean, I've been down here to keep people here, but I'll tell you what, when I started leaving the November 2nd or 3rd when that happened, there was over 20 people going with me, and all into the Poconkeeps and down by the river. And
are there a lot of campers up there now?
No, most of them are either here or in the other places, but they're all looking. Every night, they're coming around, where's a good place, where can we be out of sight? You know, I said, carry out your trash, keep the place clean, and nobody will say nothing. It's the people who come down there who are the derelicts who make it bad for the people.
Closed now that we can go to federal parks.
A comment from a man on the sidewalk with a guitar here.
Thinking that federal parks are a better place to be because nobody's there to bother you now.
Although, who knows how long that will continue.
I don't think it's going to be very long. I think I'm glad they did it this way because, as far as I understand, the federal government has always gotten a high pay for what they've done. And when they want a pay raise, they just give it to themselves.
So you are still officially barred from this property for the next week and a half? How long?
Next week, until Monday.
And have you attempted any appeal process? Here, which you're going to talk to Paul Marceau, the Interfaith Satellite Shelter Program Director?
Yeah, he just happened to go on a two-week vacation. Couldn't call up here at any time and tell anybody what the paperwork that I gave him is good or not. And besides, the whole thing didn't even happen on the property, so they don't even have a leg to stand on. They're not here to fight for it, being Marcel is gone. So I'm just stuck in the middle of nowhere, lost my keys, lost $2,500 worth of stuff because I tried to put the best stuff together so it wasn't left in tents or laying around unlocked. Well, I lost it. It was my fault.
You think other campers will have a similar problem if the campground is closed?
Well, if they get uncentered like this, if you're in a place and you're centered, it's one thing. But when you keep getting uncentered and you keep spacing things out and losing stuff, it improved every time the tents were either up or down or how to move the tents. I know I was spaced out all the time and I lost a lot of things, but when the tent stayed up, it seems like I kept my shit together a lot better and even cleaner too. But I'm glad this is not a campground. Why they're trying to call it a campground, I don't know. But for what the little bit it is, at least people give them some humanity for themselves to have something.
Sure, Mike, is there any way people can reach you? Like, you have a phone number, message phone, anything like that?
Carl Street's a good place, and, you know...
Give a phone number for those listening on the air.
No, there's nothing right now. Mike Busto's office, there's a phone number for that.
458-90. Well, thank you, Mr. Sherman, and you're looking... We weren't able to find this phone number, but I guess they could leave a message for you at the Homeless Community Resource Center at some point.
Right, at 115 Carl Street, if there's any type of messages. But, you know what? It's just people need to come together and quit bickering about their little things, and, when we can decide on something, until people can decide on something, right, there's nothing going on.
There may be some progress at today's meeting, which is where I'm headed to, the open air shelter meeting.
Well, good luck.
Thank you. So it's 1:20, and we're on the campground next to the rather noisy, I guess it is a cement plant, or is it a gravel factory, I'm not sure what the hell that is, next to the open air shelter, and I'm talking with
Dan Hopkins.
Actually, what's it called? Dragon's Heart Dan, that some lunatic called you the other day. Dragon Heart, you say you were wandering by San Lorenzo Lumberyard a few minutes ago and something happened?
Yeah, I went over there and there was three people from the shelter here who's been waiting out there for like 3 hours trying to get work, you know, a casual labor for a day or so, which about 50 or 60 people a day go down there and try to get a little bit of work, you know. And anyway, so the police came out and stopped the people from asking the customers if, you know, if they could have a little bit of work or whatever. And
they were verbally asking the customers?
Yeah, they were verbally asking the people when they'd come to the driveway, you know, do you need any work or anything? And the policeman said it was okay for the people to stand there, but they could not ask the people if they needed any work or anything.
So you can loiter, but you can't ask for work.
Right, right. And
a brilliant plan.
It really bothers me about this. Here's these people that are homeless, and they're trying the best they can with very little that they have.
Did you actually hear this, or did you hear this?
Yes,
a second-hand report?
No. I was riding by on my bike, and I heard the police officer actually say this as it was going
by. How many cops were there?
I only seen one, but I wouldn't be surprised if more would show up, because that seems to happen quite often around here for such little petty things, you know.
They were responding to a complaint, what, from the lumber company or from some customers? Or?
That part I do not know, because I didn't hear that part. The only thing I heard was a policeman telling that they couldn't ask the people if they needed labor or anything. They could just stand there and
look pretty, right?
Yeah, and the chances are that the people wouldn't get any jobs just standing there, because it was late in the morning and there wasn't as many people standing out there. So if three people are standing on the street, the people that do need help wouldn't know that that's what these three people are doing. You know, they might think that they were just people walking down the street or whatever. And so it's just a little more harassment that the police are giving out, you know. I think the police should back off, you know, a little bit, you know, because they're just getting so petty over such little petty things. And what it actually amounts to is a homeless person is going to go farther and farther down. And especially if they don't have a strong will, they will voluntarily go down farther, you know. And instead of trying to help themselves out of the hole, they'll just dig yourself deeper into it.
Thank you, Dan. So that's the report from Dan, who's going to become a regular commentator on Free Radio Santa Cruz's Bathrobe Spears Broadsides. Speaking to another resident of the open air shelter, Baja Brian. Hey, Baja.
Hello.
And how long have you been a resident out here?
3 years.
And what's your sense of the change in the campground over the last 3 years?
It hasn't been much of any. They got the showers now. Yeah.
Right. So you were saying you had a concern about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. Talk about that.
No, I would just like to see them open up their field for winter use.
How large is their field and where is it?
It's out on Old San Jose Road, and it's got, I don't know, it's like 10 acres, 15 acres, campgrounds, facilities, whole nine yards.
Really? Had it previously been a campground, or what was it used for?
It's a retreat center. They have a big Seventh-day Adventist meeting every spring where they pack up full of around 3,000 people. Well, perhaps they have to keep it empty for the rest of the year in order to preserve the spiritual purity of the area.
Perhaps.
So, what you've heard, probably have heard something about the controversy around whether this area should be closed or not, whether people will resist its closing if that becomes a necessity. Do you have any take on any of that?
Yeah, I personally believe that because of the toxic nature of this environment here, the concrete plant over here, the iron place over here, whenever people live here, they get sick.
Have you gotten sick yourself?
Yeah, that's why I don't spend too much time down here.
You aren't really a resident at the moment, or?
Off and on. Literally, this ground, we tried to farm here before to raise vegetables, and the city wouldn't let us because this soil is classified as toxic.
In what index or what chart? Or how do you know that? Do you have any references for it?
They came along and said we couldn't do it because the ground was toxic. There used to be a paint manufacturing company here.
Oh, really?
Too much lead.
I see. Not enough to live on, but a little too much to die.
Right. That's why I want to see this place move, but as to where it goes, I don't know.
Any other comments for Free Radio Santa Cruz, Ron?
Not particularly.
Thank you very much.
Well, the rumor of the day here from an anonymous source who's scared to talk on the radio says that what Nicene Marks, a place above Cabrillo, was donated to the homeless during the Depression. Do you have any more details on this, Anonymous? He shakes his head. And so anyway, that's an unsubstantiated rumor, folks, for all you interested people. So check it out.
Further information on that unsubstantiated rumor, supposedly donated to the city by Henry Cowell. Perhaps our anonymous source will come up with even more details.
I'm talking to Jack here. We're still waiting for the meeting to begin, in which we're going to discuss what happened yesterday at the City Council Duck Pond meeting.
Jack.
Hello, buddy.
Hey. Here, I'll just, let me hold it for you.
Okay.
So you had some questions, Jack, and some concerns about how things should proceed.
Yeah, I think that one of the problems that I see here is there's too much factionalization involved in the same movement, which makes for a lack of cohesiveness and makes for inner disputes, and that kind of energy doesn't go toward getting the same kind of goal. And to me, when you have a goal as important as a lot of people being out in the cold and having nowhere to go, you need to unify. And the tactics that are being used are ineffective because they're not committed. You know, you have to be committed in order to make social change happen. And you have to do what it takes, you know. I mean, I'm not advocating anything as severe as violence, but civil disobedience might be nice. You know, it might be effective.
How long have you lived at the camp, Jack?
Well, this is the second time I've been here. When I first broke down here in March, I was here a month. And then I've been here for a couple of weeks now. But
you intend to be here over the winter?
No. But I intend to stay involved because I think that the homeless issue is an issue that's just going to get more and more severe as time goes on. I've been watching it. I worked with a friend of mine in Spokane, Washington, who was the director of the homeless movement. And I believe that we got a government who's deaf to the problem, and they're cutting back on everything. And I just don't think that it's getting the proper publicity. I don't believe it's getting treated right.
I mean, actually, the campers here did resist moving their tents on November 2nd. They didn't move when the so-called cleanup, which people were ordered off the property, allegedly to clean up the area.
But that happened so quickly, okay, don't do it,
right.
That, I mean, you know.
Well, what I'm saying is that from that initial resistance and from campers organizing has stemmed really a determination to, you know, to manage the campground by those people who want to stay here during the winter, and I think also to resist the supplanting of the campground in March, although there are different plans about that. But what I'm saying is
that, I understand.
I mean, there are people, the people who are here, I think, and I know Mike is one of them, and I guess there are others who aren't yet at the meeting, who are really concerned about making this a feasible self-managed campground during the winter. And the way they see to do this is negotiating for trash and potty pickups and having city support for it, having CCH authorization for it, having some people monitoring it so that it gets by. And their way of doing this at the moment, if it's possible, is to get this through negotiations with the Citizens Committee for the Homeless. I have in the past been very skeptical that the property owners, the Citizens Committee for the Homeless, are wanting to negotiate at all. But for the first time yesterday, at the meeting at the Duck Pond, they made the man who is representing the so-called Community House Project, the trailers were supposed to supplant the campground in the spring, made some statements that indicated that perhaps he was willing to negotiate in some way, at least on that issue.
Some conciliation, huh?
But I don't know how far that's going to go. I do think campers should plan for resistance if necessary. And
that's
I think
the ultimate end has to be. I mean, unless, if they have any real meaning to what they're doing. It's a shame that this whole thing had to get started as late as it did, because, you know, it's like an imminent thing that's coming, and now people are reacting. From what I understand about reading about you, you've been working on this issue for a while. You know, and I read some articles in this room in here, shower room.
You should show me that. Show me, there's a room in there which has stuff on the wall?
Uh-huh, it's a placard with some articles about
it. Oh, really?
You.
Some of those are very inaccurate, I gotta warn you.
Well, you know what, I can read between the lines. I was a literature major, you know, and
right.
I trained
Except
to do
I
that.
I was never evicted from the campground, that's not true.
But what I'm saying is I recognize from what I've read about you that you've got a commitment, and that's what I'm doubting on a lot of this, is the commitment. You know, this park or this campground is a pioneer thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay. The homeless issue is going to get bigger and bigger and bigger, and this is a key place for it right here.
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I think it's worth going the extra distance it takes to get the point across, if nothing else. I mean, the point has got to be put in the public eye and kept there. I'm not talking about just Santa Cruz or California, I'm talking about the whole country.
Why don't you consider coming on the air on Friday? You can show up at 9:45 at the Taco Bell on Pacific Avenue, and I'll pick you up and take you to the radio station.
In the morning, 9:45. I'll be there.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
Nice talking to you.
Thank you, Jack.
Nice to meet you, too.
All right. talking to Steve of the On the Prowl Harley-Davidson t-shirt.
That rocket that flew by us was a little bit scary, so I'm kind of looking out.
Right, there was a...
It was right here. Somebody came by and picked it up. I didn't see
it. You know, I think I know who it was. He actually is one of the guys who's a monitor, and he threw a few fighting words at me as he walked by. I'll point him out to you. Okay. We can ask him if he's responsible for the bottle of it.
We have a meeting beginning at what time again?
Anybody can add anything they want to. Number one is
1:55, and it's a small group, including Barbara Riverwoman. What's your name?
Angel.
Angel. Rolling Thunder Mike. Ankle Deep Annie. Dragon's Breath Dan, and Steve, a friend of.
How is it going to work?
Who was at the meeting yesterday? At the Buckhorn. And of course, Styx just showed up. Hey, Styx.
I mean, the announcement about the city council meeting.
We'll be recording the highlights of this exciting meeting. So the discussion on weatherproofing pallets and plastic is being put out till Styx, who also works as a tattoo artist, can come back. Mike is reporting.
There's three things that I think we need to do. One is the weatherization program, and part of that is to make an appeal to the general community, the churches, the Salvation Army, Goodwill, the outdoor camping stores for winter camping equipment. And we need to establish somebody here in the camp who would be the person that's going to be around a lot, who's going to receive it. And we would say on the statement, make sure it only gets delivered to Jack or Styx or Mike Boustros, someone that we can count on who's not going to space it out. This way the material doesn't go to the alkies that are going to sell it for drugs or alcohol and
bullshit.
Stuff like that. We want it to go to the people that are trying to help themselves and are prepared to stay.
Free food and clothes out of these free things.
We know that. That's why we're saying this.
Yeah, I don't sell
we
them.
We want to control it coming through. This is not a general appeal for all the campers. It's for those who want to stay. Barbara said that she'll write up a list and an accompanying letter, and she and I have both offered to take these around to various organizations. But we still don't have a person, a key person, who's going to assume responsibility for this, who's here a lot. Well, we thought about Mike, but there's three Mikes here, and if some stranger comes in with stuff, and they say, where's Mike? You know, I mean, and there's six or ten Mikes here. I was hoping Styx would do it.
2 seconds of a piece of mundane, really trivial, but will be important at the moment business.
Cool.
Thanksgiving morning, everybody has to try to remind them not to lock the porta pots up. So anybody who can remember, this is
porta potty information, folks.
We're gonna open the day from 7 to 9, and then 3 to 5.
We are prepared better to deal with both of those eventualities.
Mike is suggesting that the work on building up the strength and digging in rather than fighting the CCH. So if they change their mind about going to Iraq, they'll be in a stronger position to resist. Focusing on weatherization and getting home governance and people together.
We got ours, you get yours, right?
Staff has abandoned the campground.
Staff has abandoned the campground. Yeah, one of the things I was going to talk about is the staff here at River Street Shelter, and I really hate to say this because I like most of them, but they really have abandoned us and turned their backs on us. They're more concerned about, they have their little church programs and their little church groups, and they've already picked their people, and they're already going into those churches now. And they've really just backed off completely away from us. And so we're left out here to try to fend for ourselves and try to create some sort of a governing body here. And it's really, really hard because we're having to do this in such a short period of time. And the people that are trying to do that are really doing a good job right now, but